1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Reverend Winston will now be preaching from this word.
Thanks, everyone, and thanks for your prayer and partnership with FY. Really appreciate that. Well, it's been a chock-a-block service already. I thought, why don't we just stand up if you want to, shake it out, and let's have a quick refresh, get ourselves back into concentration mode. All right. Please have your Bibles open. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for this time where we can focus on your word. And we pray, God, that you pour your spirit into us, that our minds would be alert and keen to learn, and our hearts would be open to be changed, to be transformed by your word. So please give us your spirit, help us to stay humble and teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, marriage, we talked a bit about marriage already with the announcements. Marriage is one of the most important relationships in life. And we know that good marriages and stable families are a vital foundation of society. But for Christians, a good Christian marriage, according to the Apostle Paul, it's really a beautiful reflection of the gospel we believe in. Christ laying down his life for his bride, the church. Now, when a marriage is going well, it's an absolute gift. It's a blessing. It's a joy in someone's life. And yet, marriage is also one of the hardest relationships to get right. In my experience as a pastor, I've been, I've seen the damaging effect of broken relationships. Broken marriages is really one of the most difficult and most painful experiences in someone's life. So let's think about marriage. Marriage is so hard, but what does the Bible have to say? I've been married for over 12 years now, and it's fair to say it's been at times difficult. My wife and I, we've had difficult moments, and that shouldn't surprise you, because what is marriage? Marriage is the coming together of two sinful people, selfish human beings coming together, and usually we come together with these unrealistic expectations. And I blame partly this to Hollywood and all those K-dramas. I mean, let's have a look, screen share, thanks, Jono. I mean, look at this guy. You know, it's ridiculous how handsome he is, isn't he? And then those dreamy eyes. Who has dreamy eyes like that? Come on. You know, looks so sensitive, so caring and romantic. And then when you look at this guy, then look at this guy. I mean, come on. What chance do I have? I mean, I don't even know that guy on the left, but, I don't like him already. I'm just kidding. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I've got nothing against him. I don't want to make this a sermon about jealousy, but it's really a sermon on marriage, Christian marriage. And I want to talk about Hollywood and K-drama because they reflect what we often focus on relationships. And really, society, K-drama, Hollywood, those things, they point us to different things. They get us to think about looks and chemistry and, you know, financial security and romance. They're the things that are praised by Hollywood and K-drama. But what does God want us to center our marriages on? Not those things, but on Jesus. Husbands and wives, we are called to love one another in the same way that Jesus loved his Father and loved us. Now, I know that not everyone here is married, but there are lessons in this passage for all of us. And perhaps there's really important lessons for the marrieds amongst us. Some of you will be getting married in the near future, later this year, next year, perhaps. So important lessons for us to focus on, to learn from. But really for all of us in church, both marrieds and singles, I think it's really important that we all listen in, even if you're not married, to listen in and to learn what the Bible says about marriage so that you can support the marrieds and you can pray for the marrieds in our church. So yes, we do want to have this ministry where singles are ministering to marrieds, marrieds ministering to singles. That's really important. And so the single conference, get along to that as well. But what does today's passage have to say about marriage? Now, obviously, I can't talk about everything about marriage. So get along to the check-in. And some of the things that I'm going to miss today, maybe you can bring them up at the check-in. And maybe some of the things you want to talk more about from today, that could be a good time to sort of set aside and say, hey, let's really talk about this because we've been neglecting it. So with that in mind, I want to draw out three points from today's passage. Thanks, Jono. Firstly, the word submit is not a dirty word, but it is a beautiful word. That's the first point that I want us to make. And actually, I'm going to go to point three first, how the Christian husband ought to love the wife. And then I'm going to double back to one thing in which how Christian wife can love the husband. So the word submit, what does it mean? Thanks, back to me, Jono. The word submit, what does it mean? I think the word submit, it has become kind of a dirty word in secular society. I remember more than a few years ago, the Singly Anglican wanted to revise the liturgy in its prayer book for wedding ceremonies, where the minister would ask the bride, will you honor and submit to him as the church submits to Christ? Now, that's straight out of scripture, right? But when that got leaked out that this is what the Sydney Anglicans were trying to do, there was immediate outrage in the media. One commentator said, this is horrific. How can they do this? It is downright very dangerous that, you know, in today's society where there's this propensity for domestic violence, this is horrific. So what we have here is this understanding that submit is this dirty word, and it opens women up to abuse and violence. And I want to say, if that is what submission does, then yes, it is horrific. It is terrible. And we don't want women to submit in those situations. So I'll get back to that in a moment. But not only is it, you know, has this negativity in terms of the domestic violence and abuse, but just generally the word submit has this kind of negative sort of anti-freedom, feel about it. Well, why would I want to submit to anyone? Why can't I just have my freedom? And it becomes this kind of negative word. But how does the Bible use the word submit? How does it think about the word submit? Well, the Bible says it's not a dirty word, but in fact, it is a really beautiful word. So look at verse one. It says there, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husband. So note the phrase in the same way. In the same way as what? Well, in the same way as in the previous chapter. And it does use the word submit on two occasions. in the previous chapter. First of all, verse 13. Thanks, Jono. It says this: submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. So Reverend Ying mentioned this last week, submitting to authority. And then if you look down a few, five verses later, verse 18, the word submit appears again. It says there, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. So we're called to submit to the government. We're called to submit to our masters or to our bosses, I guess, in modern society. There's the word submit. But what is it? What does it actually look like? Well, submit is this idea of willingly putting yourself into someone else's hands, putting yourself under somebody else's control, authority, if you like. And we learn a lot more as we read further down in chapter 2. But it is hard, isn't it? To submit is hard. And before I get to those verses in verse 21, I think it's hard for all of us to submit because really we're all inherently selfish human beings, aren't we? We know what we want and we often just pursue what we want without really thinking about it very much. We are naturally selfish human beings. So to submit ourselves to somebody else is not an easy thing. And also it's the letting go of our autonomy, as I said, to say, well, I no longer belong to myself. When I submit myself to someone else, it's saying, well, I now also belong to the other person. I'm no longer living just for myself, but I also live for someone else. And of course, as I mentioned, there is this risk when we submit ourselves to someone. I mean, what if we submitted ourselves to the wrong person? Someone who would take advantage of us, someone who would abuse us, someone who might be even violent towards us. Well, there's risk in submitting. So submitting is hard. And I do want to say with that last point, let's make this very clear. We want to say that violence and abuse in any relationship is wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And no woman should be put into that situation. And I really want to encourage any wives here, if you're in that situation or if you know someone in that situation, encourage them, urge them to get help, to get out of that situation, because they don't deserve to be in that situation. They aren't called to submit to a husband who is like that. And let's make that very clear that this is not how submission should look like in a Christian marriage. So how does the Bible think about the word submit? And let's look at the verses 21 to verse 25. Thanks, Jono. So it says there, this is a recap from last week, but there's things that I just want to highlight from here to think about marriage. Verse 21, I'm going to read it again because it's pretty important. It says that to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they held insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So what do we learn here about the word submit? Well, really, it's got some important lessons. It is something that is not dirty, but in fact, it is a beautiful word according to these passages. To submit is an act of love. Jesus's actions is an act of love, an example that we're called to follow. So how does Jesus submit here? Let's have a look. First point that I want to make is that he doesn't use his power and authority for himself. He doesn't use his strength to serve himself, but he humbles himself. and he willingly entrusts himself into someone else's hands. And note who he submits himself to. We see it in verse 23 there. To he who entrusted himself to him, to him who judges justly. So he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Who is that? Who's the one who judges justly? It's not the Pharisees. It's not the governor Pilate. It's not the Roman government, the Roman soldiers. Who is the one that judges justly? Well, that is, of course, God, his Father. That's the one to whom Jesus submitted himself to. So let's make that really clear first and foremost, that the one that we are to follow is to submit like Jesus did to his Father, not to the abusers that he, that were abusing him. Where he was submitting himself first and foremost to his Father. Secondly, I do want us to see so clearly the motivation in his submission to God, his Father. He was motivated by love, wasn't he? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he cried out in prayer to God in anguish as blood was dripping from his forehead, his sweating blood, and he cried out to God, his Father, God, if there's any other way, please, God, if there's any other way, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but your will. Do you feel the love there? So no matter what, you know, this is so hard, but Lord, I will do this. I love you. I will go through it if this is your will. And it's out of love for his Father that he's willing to suffer and go to the cross. And it's out of love for us that he endures such suffering and humiliation to love us and to save us. Now, the third point that I want to sort of draw out of this is the degree to which he is willing to submit himself. And this does really kind of present to us a dilemma, doesn't it? Because you see here that Jesus was willing to even be abused, to even be violently treated. That was the degree in which he was willing to submit to the Father. And so the dilemma which we're presented with, well, does that mean that's what we have to do? Do wives have to submit even to that degree where they're exposed to themselves to violence? Well, thankfully, the answer is no. And it's a very big no. It's a clear no. And I want to take us to what it looks like now in the relationship between a man and a woman that's spelled out by Peter. And so first, let's go to verse 7 and let's look at how the Christian husband should treat the wife, because this is not an abusive husband. So verse 7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." So first of all, do you see that same phrase that appears in verse 1, in the same way? So again, this is referring back to those verses in chapter 2 talking about Christ's example of submitting to the Father. Do you see that this is also what husbands are called to do, in the same way that Jesus submitted himself to his Father? Husbands, in the same way. You see, submission in a marriage is not just the man's taking control and the wife submitting, where one wins and the other loses all the time and doesn't have their way but submits themselves. No, this is really clear, because it's both the wife and the husband who are both called to follow the example of Jesus. And so we see here this mutual submission, mutually submitting to each other, where they're both working hard at submitting to each other so that not one wins and the other loses, but together as they do that, they are both winning. That is the picture that we see here. It's mutual submission. And when both husbands and wives are doing this, then it truly is a reflection of what Christ and the church looks like. Christ loved the church and laid his life down for the church, and the church submitting themselves to Christ. A beautiful picture of mutual love and submission. But I want us to also see that the way that husbands are to submit to their wives looks a little bit different to the way that wives submit to husbands. And there are different applications that Peter highlights. So next slide. Thanks, Jono. We see here two clear instructions of the way husbands do it. In the same way, be considerate, husbands, as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect. So there are two specific, important applications for the husband. Be considerate. To be considerate, it means you don't just think about your own needs and what you want, but you consider your wife's needs. You consider how you can use your time, how you can use your energy, how you can lay down your preferences to meet her needs. You're considering her needs. And you're also treating her with respect. So that means you don't just call her to submit to your ideas, to get her to do things your way, but you treat her with respect. You're not discounting her opinions. You're not ignoring her opinions. You're not being rude to her, but you're being patient and you're taking the time to really listen to her, not just to words, but trying to understand her and trying to listen to her heart and paying attention to what her opinions are, what really matters to her. That's what it is to respect her. So that's really important, husbands, that we aren't just, you know, it's really clear, isn't it, that, you know, as husbands, we're not in any way have any room to be chauvinistic, to be domineering, and to say, hey, do things my way. No, really, this is this mutual submission, this humbling to of one another, and husbands really caring and really listening, really trying hard to understand your wife. So that is the way that husbands are to submit to their wife. But now let's have a look at how wives submit to husbands. There's quite a bit here, but I just want to highlight one thing to point out for the wives. Verse 4 says, there rather it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So we have here this idea for wives to have this gentle and quiet spirit. And I want you to note that's not just a way of behaving. It's not just an action, but it's more like a character trait, part of your inner self. Peter says, should be that of your inner self, this gentle and quiet spirit. And do you see what Peter says about this gentle and quiet spirit? He says it's this unfading beauty. You know, as I mentioned, it's society focused so much on the external, the good looks, the possessions, things that we have, and you know, those things fade. But what happens within us, that inner beauty, that as it grows is unfading, Peter says. And notice what else Peter says about this gentle and quiet spirit. It's of great worth in God's sight. Now, I don't want to be the man who's trying to tell wives how to be wives, but let's really think about God's word here. I highlight this passage to you for you to just reflect on as wives. You know, do you believe this? Do you believe that this gentle and quiet spirit is really an unfading beauty, something of great worth in God's sight? How do you grow in this area as a wife? How do you become more and more gentle and quiet in your spirit? And I want to be clear that it's not, you know, it's a quiet spirit. It's not a silent spirit. Your words do matter. Your words are valuable. They are important. It's not, don't say anything, but it is the way you say it. And I do want to say that when this is really not easy. You know, when I think about this command here for wives, I see it's not easy at all, because I put myself in my wife's shoes, you know, and who she's married to. And I go, well, how can she be gentle and quiet with a guy like me? And I really give it up to her. She's, yeah. You know, we have had our troubles in the past, especially early on when we were starting out in marriage. And, you know, here I am, I've been a bachelor for ages and, you know, just doing whatever I wanted. And all of a sudden, here's this wife that I was meant to care and understand, and I wasn't doing well at it at all, to be honest. And so we had our moments, but I've got to say that over time things have gotten better, because I learned what happened in the past and the way that I still struggle with. I am improving, but I've seen in the past how I was this proud guy who just wanted things my way and I like to be right. Does that sound familiar, guys? Husbands, probably the wives are nodding their head. Yep. Typical guy, you know, wanting, proud, always wants to be right, always thinks they're right, but in actual fact, they're not. Well, that was me all the time. And by God's providence, God gave me this wife who, you know, she's in all ways, to be honest, better than me, apart from being physically stronger. I think she's better than me in every other way. She's smarter than me. She's more efficient at doing things. She's more organized than me. She's wiser than me. And really, when it comes to making good decisions, really, she's the one that I should be following when I look at her. But the thing is that, you know, as we struggle to sort of take the lead, we had these issues, these arguments early on, but over time, I learned to be considerate. I learned to respect her, to listen to her, to try and understand her. And also at the same time, she was growing as well. And she was growing in gentleness and in quiet spirit. And we began to really submit to each other, listening to each other better, understanding each other better, caring for each other's needs a lot better. And by God's grace, the arguments we have are very few these days. And I'm so grateful for the lessons we've learned. And I really do want to encourage all the marrieds out there, or the soon-to-be marrieds out there, keep working at submitting to each other. It is hard work. It is letting go of your own desires and really submitting yourself to the other person and considering their needs before your own. And I want to encourage you, with God's help, things can get better. Step by step, step by step, we improve in our relationship with our wives and husbands, and we look more and more like Jesus to the world. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this evening where we can really give some attention to the marriage relationship. And we pray this evening in particular for the married couples in our church and the soon-to-be marrieds, that you would help them to center their relationship in Jesus. Help them to look to Jesus as an example to follow. Help them to see the way in which Jesus submitted to you, God, the way in which he loved you in obedience, and the way that he loved us in his willingness to endure and suffer for us to save us, Lord. Father, help us to model our relationships of Jesus, Lord. And in this way, we can reflect the gospel to the world in our marriages. Will you please help all the married couples to grow more and more like Jesus? We pray in his name. Amen.